How many of us are really hungry for revival? We hear what Catherine Kuhlman we have done. We hear what Smith Wigglesworth we have done. A.A. Allen. We hear all these things. And we think because we're Christians, we're just going to receive it. It's not going to happen. We will have to pull heaven down. We will have to have a heart say, God, I will not leave you until you touch me. Even if you have to put my hip out of place, I will wrestle with you until you touch me. For too long we come to church just to say that I'm part of this church or that church. Church is not a clique. It is a movement. It is a kingdom. And when we come together like this, we must be expectant for our King to arrive in the building. And sometimes he has to wait for those that tolerate him just to leave the building. So now they've left and now the glory can come in. Are you with me? This morning I want to tell you a story about, and you can read it at home, at Acts 27. We will see Paul was a prisoner on his way to Rome to make appeal to Caesar. And a lot of times we forget that no one forced Paul to go to Rome. It was on his own request that he went to Rome. He asked to go see Caesar, to make an appeal before Caesar. He chose the journey that's going to cause him a shipwreck. And sometimes we as Christians, we choose to go on a road. And it is the road that God wants to take you. But shipwrecks comes. Hardship comes. And we just let everything go. We give up on the call of God for our lives. We give up on the purpose that God has given us. We come to a conference like this. We'll get on fire for the next week or two. And then afterwards, Sundays is a good day to go to the wineries. Because of small bumps in the road. One thing that we must remember, the journey that Paul took to go to Rome. Many of us, when you read that story, you think, it was a quick shipwreck. There was a wave or two that came and hit him and it was off the boat and he went onto the island. That wreck that they had to survive, that storm, was 14 days, 2 weeks. And then when God doesn't come through to us, when we want him to come through, my God, why have you forsaken me? And whatever's inside of us start manifesting. Our jealousy. But how can you do it for that one and not for myself? You said I must come to Cape Town to plant a church. Where are you? Sometimes you choose roads that God wants us to be on, but it's not always the easiest roads. But for you to be able to go through every storm and every tribulation as a Christian, for you to live in this day and age that we are in now, religion is not enough. You would have to be filled and consumed with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Religion will not help you. If a storm comes, you can quote a scripture until you are blue. But if you do not have something in you to light that scripture, you need the fire. I don't know about you, but let's say you go through a difficult time in your life and you have to walk through a fire. Maybe you have to have all the burdens. Maybe I have to have 50 or 60 kilograms on your back. I promise you, the moment that you walk in fire, you'll forget about the weight. You will jump over walls to get to water. And that is what the fire of God does for you as a Christian. It makes the yoke of this world light. Because the fire empowers you to be able to run and not get weary, to walk and not faint. It is nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit. But many of us, we do not have the fire. We have a form of godliness. And we're satisfied. We want to be in our comfort zones. Christianity is not a comfort zone. If you think Christianity is to be comfortable and to live a life of peace, you are wrong. You are supposed to live a life of victory. But you cannot have victory if you do not have the Holy Spirit and the fire of His Holy Spirit. Are you with me? I've been on many rough seas in my time, and I know we have some fishermen in the church that goes on boats. Believe me, you can be a man of faith. You can be whoever you want to be. The moment you experience rough seas is the moment that whatever inside of you that will come out. Some people will vomit. Some people would want to pray that they die rather. And sometimes we go through life and it feels like an ocean. Just you finish one thing and you feel, okay, now the ship is fine. And then the next thing comes, the next wave comes. And then the captain tells you, but listen, the wind direction just changed. All those storms is coming back again. But how many of us have the fuel of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, to be able to push through every storm that comes? Because that is what's happening in churches right now. People has lost the fire of God. They are trying to fight a spiritual battle with knowledge. The fire cannot be taught. It is something you have to catch. And that a phrase I steal from Prophet Leon. It is his phrase. But Paul had to be broken through the storm for him to be able to bring revival. Sometimes you think the people that God's going to choose to bring revival, to start big businesses for this kingdom, is going to be those who have a perfect life. It is not so. It is those who are broken at his feet. Those who are able to say, listen, I'm going to be broken like an alabaster oil. I'm going to be pressed down from every side. For an olive oil to come out of an olive, it has to be crushed. But many of us as Christians, we do not want to be crushed. We want to have a life of peace. Yes, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I understand that. But we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle. And you need the fire to be able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. I want us to go to Acts 28 verse 1. I want you to remember while we read this next scripture that here Paul was just through a shipwreck. He lost all his belongings that was with him, everything. Imagine your mental state and your physical state after 2 weeks fighting a storm. That God wanted to kill everyone on a boat, but because of you, everyone got saved. Imagine your own life. We go through all the storms and you're ready to give up. You're ready to go on the island and you just want to go lie on your lie low under the palm trees. And here you will see. Now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was Malta's. And now we see the island, we see the palm trees and we think, thank you, Jesus. The reward is here. And I need to tell you that many times when we read scriptures, we forget about the history. This wasn't Paul's first shipwreck. This was his third shipwreck. And many of us as Christians, we go through shipwrecks through life and we allow the shipwrecks to quench the fire that's inside of us. Because we have a little fire in us. We're supposed to have a furnace of fire inside of us that when the storms come, that we will keep pushing through. It's like when you get saved, now suddenly your friends say, but you are judging me. That is just your first storm. It's a small storm. It's your first shipwreck. But what are you doing when you get in front of your friends that are not saved? Are you quenching your fire to live like them just not to offend them? Are you one of them that say, I'm going to live on fire and I'm going to push through to the purpose and plan that God has for my life? And then you start becoming an ego bleeder. You start laying hands on the sick and your own family call you an occult. You're doing witchcraft. How can you heal the sick? Yet those same Christians that judge you, read the Bible. And the Bible says that we will do what Jesus has done and even greater things. That is your second shipwreck. There's no one in ministry that has been used in the kingdom of God. No one that has not been broken, that did not go through hardships. And here we see they just landed on the island. And we can go next verse. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. So they went through a shipwreck, hardship, fighting for their lives. Now they get to an island and it's raining. And many of us, when we go through difficult times, we will say, but God, where are you? Where are you? I'm praying, but nothing's happening. And we start complaining and we start pulling back. And because we start pulling back, things just goes worse. Not knowing that even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, it never says to stand still in the valley of the shadow of death. Keep walking, no matter the storm that you're facing. You have to keep walking. Many of us, when we get to this island, we'll go to the magistrate and say, listen, how does Uber work in this city? I just want to get out of this place now. Where's the hotel? I just want to get out of this rain. We want comfort so quickly. But it says there that the kingdom was fire. For they kindled the fire and made us all welcome. What are we doing in this conference? We are kindling the fire. We are just kindling the fire that's inside of you already. It is like many of us, I remember when I just got saved, I went to a conference and I got on fire for God. But it was my responsibility to kindle that fire. I remember there was once a pastor that said to me, Stefan, don't worry, your fire is going to burn out. A pastor of a charismatic church, not of an NG church. A charismatic church. Because that is the mindset that we as Christians have. Up and down, up and down. Be on fire, be lukewarm. Be on fire, be lukewarm. Why can't we go from glory to glory to faith to faith? Why can't we go from kingdom to taking kingdoms over? Why not? Because we like our comfort zone a lot. And it goes on in verse 3 and it says, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat. What is Prophet Leon going to do this weekend? Every one of you have the capability to be carriers of the fire of God. You have all the resources that you need to carry the fire of God. What Prophet Leon and myself is going to do this weekend, we're going to take the sticks, the wood that's already inside of you, and we're going to put it on your fire, and we're going to kindle your fire, and we're going to make you to be on fire for the Holy Ghost. But it's going to be your responsibility to keep that fire. We cannot take that responsibility from you. We're not the ones that goes with you to work or to your house or to your school or university. You are the one that takes responsibility to keep that fire. And then suddenly you will see people manifest. Snakes will come and manifest. You thought you were a Christian all your life. I am perfect. You walk in and Encounter Church Cape Town or any of the branches. And suddenly there's anger. Suddenly there's, you can't sleep at night. It is because the snake that was there is uncomfortable. Because the fire's furnace, the heat was turned up. There was a bit more fire than what it was comfortable. Too many Christians are comfortable where they're at in their lives. And that is why they think they are fine. The fire is there to expose the snake. Let's go on. The fire is not just there to expose. And fastened to his hand. So when the native saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, has yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. The moment you get on fire, people start gossip. We're starting this church. Oh, it must be in a cult. How do they grow this church? The Bible says that Jesus draw all men to himself. So the moment that Jesus gets preached, guess what will happen? The church will grow. And many of us, we allow the gossip of our friends and our family, people judging us, we're allowing their fiercy words, we're allowing that to quench the fire inside of us. Imagine Paul would say, oh, I'm going to die now, snakes on me. No. He knew that fire was small. The snake was comfortable in the wood next to the fire. It was comfortable. And as he put that wood on the fire, the snake came out and burned him. And many of us, when we start manifesting, we say, but let me go to another place. Let me go there to help me. The place where your snake manifests is the place that can kill your snake. Because he took that same snake that was there already, that was comfortable in that Christians, and he took it and he says, now I throw you into the same fire that I have made. But how many of us have enough fire for the problems that we are facing? How many of us, our fire that we have in our life is big enough to burn our snakes? Because it's one thing for this fire to reveal the snake, but the snake has to be dealt with. There's many people that can let someone manifest in the spirit. Many people, I've seen them on Facebook, YouTube, they can let a demon manifest, but that person is still possessed. There are people in our church that went to other pastors, but I'm not going to say it. They will testify on their own accord. They received stuff that is not of God. And one of our e-group leaders prayed for them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. The person was set free, and in 3 or 4 days, they received a job opportunity. They received a job in 3 or 4 days. A normal e-group leader. The fire is not a respect of man. You have to kindle that fire that's in you. And no harm came to him. In verse 6 it says, however, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down. Like many people thought that we're going to start a church and we're going to die. But after he had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god. In the beginning, when you just become a Christian, or you just start your business, or you start walking in the purpose of God of your life, people will start judging you. They'll start speaking against you. It's normal. Do not allow that to quench the fire that's in you. Keep on walking. Because there's going to come a time when they will start tolerating you. Like now, I think people are start tolerating Encounter Church Cape Town. But it's a time that they can start celebrating Encounter Church Cape Town. And it's a time that they're going to start celebrating you. Do not stop when people come against you. Do not come. It's like Christians. They will leave church because someone just looked at them ugly. Or someone, oh, I didn't greet them. You will never be able to do anything great in the kingdom of God. Never. Because the fire in you is smaller than the pride that's in you. In this conference, we can allow the Holy Spirit. But a man of God is going to use Prophet Leon from tonight to put the fire that's in you. That all that pride, all that sickness, all that poverty, all that mindset, all that anxiety, all those fears, everything that is hindering you, and even families, there's families that's going to be changed after this conference, where they strive the whole time. That curse of strife is going to be broken in this conference through the fire of the Holy Spirit. But it's your responsibility to kindle it. And it goes on and says, in that region there was an estate, and then you can just read afterwards where Paul brought revival to that city, to that island. One person pushing through. Because of one person, not any prisoner was killed. Because of you, your family can be preserved if you're on fire. If you're in the purpose of God. Maybe the purpose of God doesn't feel perfect for you now because it's painful. Because it challenged you. I think Paul was challenged when he was on that shipwreck. Yet, because he was there and he was at the fire, he was a vessel to carry the fire of God. It was illegal for him to die. At least two of you catch that one. But to cultivate the fire of God, you need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is not a form of religion and tradition. It is a relationship. Like I always say, many people know about my wife, but I'm the only one that knows her. It's an intimate relationship. And that is why when someone speaks against her, I can just say, listen, that is not my wife. You're speaking maybe about your wife. Because I know my wife. But how many of us know our God? That we do not get discouraged and want to give up when things do not go right. I remember in my life, there was a time that I got a prophetic word that God's going to use me what He's doing now. And even greater things are still going to come. But there's a time that I had to die of the flesh. There's a time that I had to go through persecution for the dream to live on. For me to be broken, that I'm not standing here in pride. And that is why I will never have pride. And if I have, Prophet Leon is the only one that has the right to hit it down. Because I'm a man under submission. Because you have to have power under control. That is what submission is. It's power under control. But many of us, we do not go through this broken season. And when we go through it, we give up. But this conference, I pray that every single person in this building will receive the fire to endure every hardship. Because that is what kept me through going through every season of every trial. When everyone said I will not make it, I knew the one that said I will make it. Because I had a relationship with Him. The people's voices meant nothing around me. Because I knew His purpose and plan for me. But many of us, we give up because we do not know the one that is the beginning and the finisher of our life. Imagine, the Bible says before God made the beginning, He saw the end. Yet you think you can fail. The only way you can fail is if you give up. And if you allow the devil to quench the fire that's inside of you. The only difference between a believer that is on fire and one that is not on fire. How many of you want to know that secret? Are you guys ready for it? The difference between a Christian that is on fire and one that is not on fire is the one that is on fire decided to kill the excuses. That you didn't take nice. We all want the quick fix, how to get on fire for God. How to turn the world upside down. Yet we want to live a life of excuses. You have to have the ability to overcome your excuses. After this conference, I've been to many conferences in my life. Many young men that has great gifts and callings. We are at the same place, drinking from the same well. Yet they cannot even heal a fly. Yet they cannot cast out a demon. Yet they cannot prophesy. Is it because I'm special? No, not at all. It's because I chose to leave the excuses. The first time I went to the street to go pray for someone, I did not even know how to pray for someone. Only thing I knew is that God has called me to pray for the sick. And many of us will make excuses, but I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. Let your excuses go after this conference. Because after this conference, you will receive, that's on Prophet Leon's life and that's on my life. You receive the same spirit that you'll be able to do what we can do. But you'll have to let your excuses go. Because your excuses is the thing that is stopping you from pushing forward. What if it doesn't work? So what? Not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. We have to live a mindset that we must be focused on the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And when we get opportunities, because opportunities will come every day, maybe 100 times a day, where you can make excuses. Opportunities will come, I can promise you that. Oh, I'm just quickly in a hurry. But God has sent someone on your road to heal. Oh, but my wife is waiting for the milk, I need to hurry. If your wife is so hard on you, we need to cast out Jezebel. A relationship is a marriage and a relationship is not one that you have to walk on eggs around one another. It's not a place where you have to fear one another. The only fear that you as a Christian must have is the fear of the Lord. Nothing else. No fear of man. No fear of the devil because he's a minion. You'll see in this conference how we'll cast him out as well and many. But we need to choose to let go of our excuses that the fire of God can burn as He wants. Because too many times we stop Him because of our excuses. Oh, but I have a sickness. I can't heal the sick. So your perfection is that healing the people. God never used perfect people. And that makes it a good testimony for you. Because I know that you are not perfect. I am not perfect. Yet God chooses to use us. To put to shame the wise. Why? Because then He can get all the glory. Are you with me? The reason why those who are on fire pray more than you and fast more than you is not because they are special. It's because they have chose to lay their lives down for God and lay the excuses down. Like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit is not a respecter of man. It is like Catherine Kuhlman. Her own testimony, she would say that she does not feel that she's called to ministry. But she died to herself. She died to her excuses. Oh, but I'm not called to ministry. Yet she brought one of the greatest revivals, a supernatural revival of the Holy Spirit. That when she will just stand like this, people will just pop out of wheelchairs. That she was so open for the Holy Spirit to move through her that she didn't even have to go lay hands on the sick. She would just stand like this. I can't speak very good. I can't preach. I know I'm not the best preacher. And that's fine. God didn't choose me because of my eloquent words. I can promise you that. Because then I would have failed. But Catherine Kuhlman will preach or talk about a cat and about whatever. And people will let you fall asleep. And then she'll say, shh, the King is here. Imagine someone that can have many excuses. But God, I don't have a message. I have to speak about cats and nonsense. I'm not called to ministry, yet God has chosen her. Your excuses stop you from receiving the fire of God. And your excuses stop you from running with the fire of God. It is only but excuses. These signs will follow those who believe. It doesn't say those who are perfect or those who are chosen. It will follow everyone that believe. How many of you believe in Jesus Christ in this place? So the fire of God has to work in and through you. There's no excuse. It is time that we tell the devil to shut up when he brings his excuses. I must remember I'm online. I can't speak the way I want to speak. Especially, it's not my platform. I need to relax. But Paul had many excuses. And sometimes we have many excuses. We come to conferences like this and receive the fire of God. But then someone passes away in our family, or maybe a relationship doesn't work out, or maybe we lose our job, or the contract that we were hoping for didn't come through, or your wife just raises her voice, or husband, whatever, and suddenly you have excuses. God, when you bring peace in my house, I will serve you. It is not how it works. You have to be a Christian that says, I'll be on fire no matter what storm comes to me. One thing that Prophet Leon told us from the beginning when I joined him, I think 10 or 11 or 12 years, I can't remember how long, long time ago. He said to me, he always prayed this one thing, Father, take everything from me but your presence. And believe me, the test has come to all of us. I have lost everything in the time of my life. But because I made up my mind that God, I will not give up, no matter what my circumstances is, I will not make excuses not to be used by you. Believe me, I was the least one that God would choose for his kingdom. But I'm someone that does not make excuses. And people think I'm special. No, I'm not special. I'm just a Christian that carries the fire of God, that stopped making excuses. Oh, but this person doesn't have a hamstring. It is impossible for that hamstring to come back. Yet I did not make excuses, and I said, hamstring B. Hamstring B. And get what happened? The hamstring was in that guy's doctor's reports we have. That his hamstring that the doctor took out was God formed against. Sometimes we say, but I can't pray for the people in wheelchairs because I've never done it successfully. There's many times in my life I failed praying for people in wheelchairs, many. And it was one time I was starting to make excuses, but God put me on the hot seat. I was in a school where he said, where we needed to go and evangelize, spread the gospel. And I saw the day before that this wheelchair guy was there, and I was like, ish, God, I've prayed for many people in secret and in the streets for wheelchairs, but it did not work. Please let this kid doesn't come to school tomorrow. Starting with my excuses. Don't act so holy. I'm just a person like you. But God forced me not to have excuses. And that morning I said, God, if he's here, I'm just going to pick him up. I'm not going to try to pray a perfect prayer. I'm not going to try to perform. I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to say, walk. Because I've tried everything. I've prayed for people until I'm blue and nothing happened. And that morning I didn't see him there. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And then one of the ministers that was with us in that school brought that kid from behind the school, because he's in a wheelchair, you can't see him sitting. They brought him from behind to the front. And I was like, I even made excuses. I have to go and speak to the principal after my message. I had an excuse. It is something you have to do after the message. Pastor Khara does a lot of schools. He knows you have to speak to the principal. How was it? So it was the right thing to do, but it was an excuse to let the fire flow through me. I start calling my name to pray for this kid. And the moment I walked there, I said, God, I failed many times, but now I'm going to leave my excuses and I'm going to let your fire flow. And I walked to that kid and said, stand up and walk. And that kid walked out of his wheelchair without being perfect prayer, but the fire of the Holy Spirit. Because many of us, we are carrying out the fire, but we have excuses that stops it. We have closed the door for the fire to go out because of excuses. It is time that we walk with the fire of God. I don't know where I am in my message. That was all for free. Let me see. But we need to burn with a passion for his fire. A burning, passionate desire for more of him. It is not going to come because you want him in your head. It has to be a burning here. It's like when you're a young man and you meet the girl that you want to marry. You will be at a house for the whole day. A mom and dad will chase you away because you're there the whole day and they want to go sleep because they don't want you to be alone with a daughter maybe. I hope fathers still do that. Amen. That's good. Your daughter's not up for grabs for any person. You have to protect them. And the moment you leave that house, you go to your, you're on your way to your house. You just on the highway, you're already on the phone. Oh, Liefie, ek mis jou so baie. But why don't we have that burning fire for the Holy Spirit? We'll come to a conference like this and I'm fine for the next month. I have so much of the presence of God. I don't need to serve Him. I don't need to go seek Him because I am fine. And that is how, because of our excuses, that the oil will start running out. That the fire will start being quenched. And then when the shipwreck comes that is there to shape us, we fail to go through the shipwreck because we lost the fire that God has given us, the fire to go through that shipwreck, through that storm. But because of your excuses, you have siphoned the fire. And that storm comes and it hits you. And you get whiplash. And you're out. And then you think, but God, why have you left me? Why have you allowed the fire that He has given you to quench out? Why did you allow the fire that God has given you to burn out? Why did you not kindle the fire? Because sometimes we want God to do everything for us. We have a thing as Christianity, prayer, and it's a very good thing. But we use it as an excuse sometimes. Father, if it's your will, go and pray with my sister. Father in heaven, if it's your will, cast out that friend of mine that's addict. Go and set him free if it's your will. Do you think he's going to do it? Maybe by grace. Because he has given you the fire to go there and say, listen, demon, for too long you have tormented my family member. Right now I give you eviction notice. He has given you the mandate. But you think he's going to get off from his throne to come and do our work. That is not how it works. There's laws in the kingdom of God. Jesus is sitting. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. His work was finished. It's like when you build a house, when the construction guy is finished, he's finished. Then it's the interior decorator to start filling that house. You can't call the builder, well, listen, where's my couches? He's going to say, listen, what do I have for you to do? Shh, I'm not building chairs. I don't hang mirrors. What are you talking? I built. And Jesus has done His work. He is finished. But He has left us a helper. He has left us someone to teach us. And that is the Holy Spirit, who is the all-consuming fire. That when we have a family member that is sick, that we don't need to say, but Father, if it is your will, can you please heal? No. You go there and say, lay your hands and say, Father, your word says, I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I thank you right now that they are healed because of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit that is activating your presence inside of me and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that can flow and through your stripes they are healed. And you say amen, you walk away. Sometimes people get offended if I pray for them if they have big sicknesses because they think I'm going to pray 2 hours for that. A sickness is a sickness. The realm of fire that I walk in, a sickness is a sickness. But you need to kindle your fire that you can, because your fire you see here, and that is for headaches, back, and maybe for someone that struggles with depression. And when someone comes with cancer, you're like, it is too big. Just kindle your fire and take your fire higher. That when you see sickness, that you can be like Paul. That it will, was it Paul or Peter? I've changed it a lot of times when people take offense. But anyway, they would walk and people get healed because the fire of God is in them. Why can't we be so on fire? I want to challenge your mind this morning and your heart. Why can't we be so on fire that when you walk into a mall, that before you go in there in the morning when you go into your secret place, not into your religion tradition, a place where you see Him, we have a relationship with Him and say, God, I pray today that wherever I go that You will guide my footsteps. Holy Spirit, I pray that You'll make and set me on fire and let the world watch me burn. That wherever I go, that I will bring glory to Your Son. And then your wife said, but listen, there's something I want to go get at the mall. And you say, but oh, no, I don't want to go. I want to watch TV. And then the fire and the Holy Spirit reminds you, you said you want me to set you on fire. And he said, wait, I'm just going to get my shoes. I'm coming with you. Your wife thinks he's going to go to shop, but you're going to go for thy prayer when we get in that mall. If there's any person that had a demon, every enemy of the enemy that's around us, any person with sickness, I pray that your fire will not just be in me, but it'll be around me, that there will be a visitation and an area around me of your fire, that when I just walk past them, that they will start manifesting. And when they start manifesting, that I will just not reveal the snake, but I will kill the snake and I will set them free because of your fire. That is what Christianity is about. Christianity is not a clique. It is not a club. Oh, I'm a Christian now. Put it on your Facebook status. The moment that you put army clothes on, if you can go now to Russia and you put the civilian clothes on, the army will not touch you. They're not supposed to. But the moment that you put army clothes on, you'll become a target. And too many Christians are putting Christianity on as an image. And that is why the devil plays vur-vur with you. He hits you left and right and you don't know if you're coming or going. It is because you have put on an army apparel, but you're not carrying the weapons. I hope you are with me this morning. You must understand you are in a battle. But you need the fire. You need to break yourself and say, God, I want your fire. Last night I was in my room. I wanted to go to sleep, but I couldn't. I was crying. I want more of your fire. I'm tired to see how the devil and his people prosper. I'm tired to see how they pollute our children. But who's going to change it? The government. You're joking. It is Christians who choose to leave their excuses and say, God, set me on fire. Let me bring the change. Remember, when you have the Holy Spirit, you are in partnership with Him. Do you think the Holy Spirit can fail on anything? Do you think so? Lift your hand up if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Can you fail on anything? Only if you have excuses. Because you become a partner with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we want to do things out of our own flesh, and that is why we fail. Are you with me? I just quickly want to give you four things and then we're going to almost close. But how to keep your fire burning? There are four things how to keep your fire burning. Number one, it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that brings the fuel to make the fire burn more severe. The Word of God brings light. It brings revelation. In the past, you thought sickness was something in the past. Now, in this conference, you see someone get healed from blindness. And not just sicknesses that we can't see. Because for too long, Christians have been accused of only healing sicknesses that people can't see. No, you'll see visible healings. Okay, that is not for you, maybe. Maybe bring your friend that needs a visible healing and you'll see. The Word of God is like a fire burning inside of you. We need the fire to burn in us. And the Word of God to make the fire that's in us to grow bigger and bigger. Luke 24 verse 13. I think it's verse 14, I'm not sure. 13. I've made a misspelling here. Go to, maybe David can help me. It is this chapter, but it says, "Where were not our hearts burning with us while he was talking?" Luke 24, verse, what is that? I'm not sure. Luke 24, verse 32. And they said to one another, did our hearts burn? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us? The scripture will bring a fire of the Holy Spirit inside of you. The second thing how to keep this is by through prayer. How do you keep the fire? It's through prayer. So number one is the Word of God. Number two, it is prayer. And when I speak about prayer, I'm not speaking about a religious thing. Oh, I went to my closet, I've prayed now, and I'm fine. No. I'm speaking that you go into your closet and seek His face. That you go there not because you have to, but because you want to. That he who sees in secret will bless you openly. That is God's desire for you. But many of us, and this is one of the excuses that we have. Oh, but I've sinned. Oh, but I've done this. And the devil tell you that you're not good enough to go into your prayer closet. I don't know how many of you know, but God always wants his children with you. Like Peter, he betrayed Jesus. Not betrayed, but he like renounced him. He acted like he didn't know him. That is a sin. Yet when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, tell them all I will be there. But it's tell Peter. He's the only one that was mentioned. Because the devil will tell you, but now you have sinned. Or now you have gone angry today. Now you can't go into your prayer closet. It is a lie from the devil to quench the fire that's in you. God wants you to go into your secret place and seek him. And ask for forgiveness. The third thing is fasting. You have to fast. You have to create a culture of fasting. Where maybe your physical weight will go down, but your spiritual glory and weight will go up. Where you'll go higher in the spirit. And I know many of you were fasting just now, the last 3 weeks. And we have seen so many miracles. Why? Because our flesh died and we allowed the Holy Spirit to do what he wants. Sometimes we must allow our flesh to become weak, that he can be strong. Because the Bible says that when we are weak, he is strong. But we as Christians, too long, we want to be in control always. Let go of our excuses. And the fourth thing that most Christians do not like is a sacrifice. And when I speak about a sacrifice, I'm speaking about a financial sacrifice. When the Holy Spirit lays in your heart, and I'm not speaking about your tithes and offerings, I'm not speaking about that. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your heart and says, listen, you have to do this. It is heaven giving you an opportunity to be able to receive more fire. Because only something, a sacrifice that's on the altar, receive the fire. Whenever in the Bible where you see people sacrificing, what follows? The fire of God. So you need to have a sacrifice for the fire to come up. And I'm not taking an offering. I'm giving you secrets. Are you with me? There is a price for the fire of God. For you to live as a Christian, to be on fire, you need to have your own fire. You cannot rely on your husband's fire, your wife's fire, or your mother's fire, or your pastor, or your eager leader fire. You have to have your own flame burning inside of you. And you have to kindle that fire. No one else can do it for you. For you to live a victorious life as a Christian, you have to have a fire. Or else you're set up for failure. The fire makes a difference in your life. You can have fire, but you can have deliverance, but it doesn't mean you have victory. Many Christians, they come especially to us, they want deliverance. And they think, oh, now they can go and live the way they want to live. No. After deliverance, you need more fire than ever before. Because many people think after their deliverance, they have victory. No, you have deliverance. Victory comes through the fire of God. And that is something that you need to kindle, no one else. Someone else's flame can give you deliverance, but you need your own fire if you want to live a life of victory and dominion. God created us to have dominion, not for deliverance. Deliverance was never part of his plan for our lives. He wants us to live in dominion, but the only way you can live in dominion is if you have the fire of God. If the pillar of fire moves where you move, or you move where the pillar of fire moves, other way around. Attacks doesn't come because you have done something wrong. Maybe it's because you have done something right. Because many of us, we go through persecution, we go through struggles. Maybe the area that you are struggling with is where God wants to use you. In Acts 1, when you can read it at home, Acts 1 verse 14, where they're all in one accord praying. Why do we make conferences like this? That we all can come together in one place, in one accord, where we can seek his face, that his Holy Spirit and his fire of his Holy Spirit can be poured out. Because the moment that the fire of God comes, when your life gets turned upside down. I want us to read Acts verse 3, verse 1. Acts 3, verse 1. And I'm almost done. Because I want you to come back tonight and bring someone. I'm expectant for Prophet Leon. I am very expectant. And no one's going to snatch my word. I'm going to get my word. Don't be a know-it-all. Be hungry always. Be always hungry for more of God. Never be satisfied. The moment that you are satisfied is the moment that you start being backslidden or become lukewarm. Never be satisfied. Always want more and more of God. There's so much of God that we cannot have everything. We will die. The Bible says that when He comes on earth, when He just come and put His foot on earth, and then we want Jesus to come and heal the sick. He gave us the power. Because the moment He puts His feet on this earth, the earth will not survive. The Bible says He'll put His feet on the mountains and it will melt like wax. Imagine how much fire you must have and carry in you to put your feet on Table Mountain and it melt like wax. Yet you think you're on fire enough. You are never too on fire enough. There's always a dimension higher. Never get satisfied where you're at. Always say, God, I want more of You. And more and more. When you see the deaf here, God, now I want to see the blind here. Now I want the lame to walk. Now I want to go raise the dead. Now I want to pray for the crowd to get healed. Always want more of God. Never be satisfied. Always want more. And it says in Acts 3, verse 1. I don't know what version I have here, but anyway. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at three in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gates called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and lied to him, as did John. Then Peter said, I'd put a lie there because they had money. Are you with me? Okay. They lied because they had money. But the fire in their lives was so real that they forgot to have money. That in comparison, the money that they have, they felt that they were poor because they were rich with the fire of God. Imagine these guys, they were on fire for God. They were apostles. Yet they still did not get the gathering of saints. Still they went to the temple. Imagine they were like most Christians. I am on fire. I'm just going to go start my own thing here and there. This miracle would never been recorded. Never neglect the gathering of the saints. No matter what your government says, no matter... Ooh, I'm online. I mustn't speak like that. The members know what I want to say. I need to behave. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk, of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand and helping him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Peter was full of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit, causing something that was born lame to walk. How many of you are speaking to your business that is lame? How many of you are speaking to your family members that's lame? How many of you are speaking to your boss that is lame? You have the power to speak life for things that was born dead to walk. Maybe your circumstances, you feel that your mom was poor, your father was poor, you didn't have the education than other people. It feels that you have a lame part of your life. You have excuses why not to start the business that God has called you to have. You have excuses you can't speak in front of people. Use me an example, I can't even. You see, I speak English very nice since I was twice. That is a joke. Things that was born lame, you have the power to speak and it will walk. You have power to speak to your business. You have power to speak to your family member that's not serving God. But if you do not have the fire, you will just condemn them. And that is what we as Christians do. Stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing that without the fire of God. And we put religion on them. We put condemnation on them. But the moment that you have fire, I will not just say it to make you feel bad, to change your life. If you have the fire, you don't speak to the person. You speak to their being. And you say, addiction, now you stop in my family. And it has to stop. You don't have to perform. You don't have to look on your phone. Where's your children at? Because you know the fire has spoken for you. Because in your mouth you have life and death. But you can only have that power if you do not have excuses. You cannot wait for someone else to build up your faith. To think of this, Peter was in Mark 9, couldn't even cast out a demon. They could not cast out the demon in Mark 9 because they have not received the baptism of fire that they had received in Acts 1. And that is what we're going to do in this conference. The things that you have failed in the past, things that you are struggling to overcome in your life, after this conference, you will have the boldness and the fire of the Holy Spirit that when you speak, you do not speak out of yourself. That when you speak, things start to listen to you and you don't listen to things. When the doctor tells you, listen, you have a sickness. You tell the doctor, thank you for this paper. I'm going to give it to my children to make a kite and fly with it. Because that is what it means to me. Because I break every word that you speak over me and my family. It is the fire of God that gives you the power. And that is why you get many Christians. They know the Bible. Oh my goodness, they know the Bible. They know this word. But when they speak, it is clanging cymbals. It is just a noise. Out in the name of Jesus and nothing happens. Be healed and everyone jumps and everyone lays hands on together. It's like a whole big mess. And the person is still sick. Because they do not have the fire. They have a zeal, but they do not have the fire. This conference, you're not just going to have a zeal for the fire. You're going to have the fire. But you're going to have to be broken. Say, God, I leave my religion, I leave my tradition, and I seek Jesus and a relationship with Him. Because it's in a relationship with Him that you will receive love. And you'll not be a clinging symbol anymore. You'll be one that when you speak, mountains move. You'll say to this mountain, be moved, and it will be removed. You don't have to scream at the devil. You don't have to scream at your circumstances. The moment that you have to scream at something is the moment you don't have authority over it. Let me say it again. The moment that you have to scream over something is the moment that that thing has authority over you. The moment that you have to scream at your children, it means your children is the head of the house. Your house is flopsided. The moment you have to scream at your workers, it means you do not have authority. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to give us authority. For too long, Christians have lost the fire of God. They've lost the power of God to be able to run and not get weary because of excuses. This morning, I want to challenge you. Let's leave our excuses at home, in the toilet, not in our hearts, not in our prayer closets. Because the biggest excuses that we as Christians have, oh, but I don't have time. Oh, but I am too tired. Excuses, excuses. Yet there is a world busy dying because you have the capability to change their life, but you have excuses. And I'm hard on this thing, and that I will be hard on forever. Many times in my life, there was people that said to me, they have this friend that has cancer, they have this one that's busy dying. And I'll tell them to come and I'll pray for them. And excuses. Oh, but they have a concert at school with their kid. They have to go on this holiday. They're busy dying, but they have excuses. And then after a few months, I ask him, how's it going with your friend? And this, you can ask anyone that knows me. This is how I speak to people. Because I take the fire of God seriously. Because you sitting here, you think that you are nothing. You think that you're not good enough because you're poor. Maybe you can't speak. Maybe you're fat. Maybe you're bald. I don't know what your issue is. What's your excuses? You know your excuses. But you have the capability to change someone's life. You have the answer for someone's prayer. They're praying, God, help me. Send someone. And then God tells you, listen, go today to that mall and lay hands on anyone that you see that needs healing. And you say, oh, no, I'll go tomorrow to the mall. Or you see that person, but you see that person in the mall, like, I don't feel I must pray for them. Excuses. And then those people, I asked them afterwards, and it happened at least 3 times, 2 times with one person. I always played golf with this guy in the past, and I asked him, so how's your friend doing that had the cancer? Oh no, he passed away 2 weeks ago. And he think I'm going to give him sympathy. The mindset of people, I want to make a difference between people and Christians, because we don't have the same mindset as the world. The world wants to tell you, oh, I'm so sorry about your friend. How old is he? How many children did he have? Did he have a life policy? That is how worldly people speak. I looked at him and said, listen, it's your fault that he died. I said to him, I told you, bring him here that we can pray for him. But your excuses caused him to die. I know it's a bit hard. I know it's actually not something I must maybe do online. We are causing people to die. We are causing people to commit suicide. We, as Christians, look around you. It is not the devil, it is us. Because we are having so much excuses. Oh, but I first want to do this, then I'm going to be on fire for God. You will never be on fire for God if you do not choose to be on fire for God. You can have all the money in the world, it will not make you on fire for God. I know rich people that have no peace, they have no fire. You will have to say, God, even if I'm in a dump, I will serve you. Even if I'm rich, I will serve you. I will be the answer to someone's prayer. How many of you in this building say that is what you want to do? That you want to leave your excuses behind and say, God, use me from this day. Stand to your feet. To leave your excuses. For too many times, oh, but I'll start on Wednesday after the conference. You can go now and heal the sick. You can go now and cast out demons. Tonight, we're going to go from glory to glory. I'm expectant for what God's going to do with Prophet Leon, my father. And I can say it's my father. Timothy was Paul's son. So Prophet Leon is my spiritual father. If you have something against it, come for deliverance of rebellion. Jesus is my father as well. But my spiritual father on earth that guides me and helps me is Prophet Leon. And believe me, he's a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm a son of a prophet. Tonight is going to be electrifying. You want to invite a friend. We have many more chairs. Don't worry about chairs. There will be space for everyone. Bring someone that needs a fire. Bring someone that's on the last nipper of their life. Do not come with excuses. Oh, but they're in another church. We didn't say they must leave their church. Let them come and catch the fire. Let God come and change their life. Let God bring breakthrough in their lives. Lift your hands to heaven. Say, Heavenly Father, I choose this morning to leave my excuses. I pray that you will use me to answer prayers. Set me on fire and let the world watch me burn. I don't want to know just about you. I want to know you. That when I speak, that will be power. That when I speak, mountains will move. When I speak, sicknesses will flee. Breakthroughs will come at my word. I thank you that you chose me. Thank you that you have chose me. Then say your name. God is in the business of using ordinary people for supernatural things. Say, Holy Spirit, I have an appointment with you tonight. Fill me and saturate me. Consume me with your fire. You need to understand, people, that the fire is not some part fire. It is an all-consuming fire. It doesn't just want to burn your wallet. It want to burn your whole life, your heart, your spirit, your soul. It's an all-consuming fire. You have to lay your whole life on the altar. Just lift your hands to heaven. And those who are online, you do not want to miss tonight. Put some water next to you for if the couch is going to get on fire at home. Because the fire will manifest. And I pray right now, Father, that you'll manifest your pillar of fire in this building. I pray that you'll open these heavens, that we'll see signs, wonders, and miracles. I pray that the pillar of fire will manifest in a form that we will see it, that we will feel it, and it will change our lives upside down. I pray that there will be a hunger tonight in this place. I pray that your angels will be in this place tonight to kick the devil's butt. I pray that your son will be glorified in this building tonight, that the sick will be healed, the demons will be casted out, and people's lives will be answered, their prayers. I pray that you'll speak to your prophet tonight, that you'll prophesy people's circumstances, that you'll bring hope to the hopeless. Make us hungry. Make us not to tolerate you, but to celebrate you. Break us for what breaks you. Amen. Give God a praise.